KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 70 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high around 86. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The 138th Annual Old Soldiers Reunion takes place this weekend in Griswold. The annual military march into the town begins just outside the city limits this afternoon at around 4:15. Landon Peterson is a member of the American Legion Post number 508 in Griswold.
Veterans, families of veterans, or our theme is hometown heroes. So law enforcement, fire, EMS, anybody that is involved in any of that is welcome to join in our road march.
A tractor show is getting underway this hour. Peterson says it's been a popular part of the annual event for the tractor owners and members of the community.
That's something that they've always done, and they were really excited to know that we were going to continue with reunion so that they didn't have to miss one, because they really enjoy that.
Other events at this year's Old Soldiers Reunion in Griswold include a parade and a street dance this evening. You can find out more by looking for the story on the same page on our news page at KJAN.com. The search for a former Wartburg College music instructor who left a Waterloo care facility Monday night has ended with some good news on its fourth day. Elwin Huffman reports from Waterloo.
Authorities learned that 46-year-old Michael Jensen was found safe in Waterloo while an extensive search for him involving more than 200 volunteers was underway in northern Cedar Falls. A family member posted the news first on Facebook, and Waterloo Police, the lead agency in the investigation, confirmed the news a short time later in a press release. Officials say Jensen was found near a spillway just blocks from Ravenwood Specialty Care, the facility he escaped from Monday night. Authorities say Jensen was taken to a Waterloo hospital for observation.
Jensen's brain tumor diagnosis is the subject of an independent film. The trial of a man charged in the killing of University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts has been delayed. Christian Bahena Rivera was supposed to be tried in September, but the first-degree murder case was reset on Friday to January because of the pandemic and the changing orders from the Iowa Supreme Court on when jury trials can resume. Investigators say Rivera, who was 25, stalked Tibbetts while she was out for a run in Brooklyn, Iowa, and then stabbed her to death. Tibbetts, who was 20, disappeared on July 18th of 2018 after a massive police and volunteer effort to find her. Authorities said Bahera Rivera led them to her body. A spokesman says the Iowa Department of Public Safety will hand over internal misconduct records to a federal grand jury investigating a trooper after unsuccessfully fighting a subpoena in court. The 8th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled Thursday that the department must comply with a subpoena, which seeks internal investigation records related to an officer who was under scrutiny for possible civil rights violations. The department had asked the courts to quash the subpoena, saying that it would have a chilling effect on internal investigations. A federal judge in the appeals court upheld the subpoena, saying the department failed to show it was unreasonable. The ruling doesn't identify the officer who was under investigation. A federal appeals court says a Davenport officer who stomped on the ankle of a suspect used unreasonable force but nonetheless cannot be held liable. The 2015 incident by Officer Brian Stevens allegedly broke the ankle of suspect Juan Shelton, who was pinned down by five officers at the time. The 8th Circuit Court of Appeals said that Stevens enjoys a qualified immunity and therefore cannot be sued for excessive force. Court said it was unreasonable for Stevens to stomp on Shelton's ankle under the circumstances, but that officers could not be held liable for such split-second decisions. Police in Iowa City have arrested a man accused of assaulting a black woman while directing racial slurs at her. The Iowa City Press Citizen said officers were called at around 3 a.m. Thursday to Cross Park Place, a building which houses people experiencing chronic homelessness. Police were told an intoxicated resident was refusing to leave the lobby and was being verbally abusive and racist toward an employee. Police say responding officers found 68-year-old Ronald Rary assaulting the woman while armed with a knife. He faces a charge of assault while displaying a dangerous weapon, among other charges. A coalition of trade unions is putting up a $100,000 reward for tips that lead to an arrest in connection with a noose found hanging at a construction site in Altoona. Earl Egan was president of the Central Iowa Building Trades.
There's absolutely, positively no place for this kind of behavior in the union construction industry. And anything at all we can do to help bring whoever's responsible for this to justice and send a clear message to everybody else that this is not acceptable, we're going to do.
The noose was found at the Facebook data center, and investigators believe it was put there on Juneteenth, a holiday that marks the end of slavery in America.
There's no way, shape, or form anybody should have to put up with this at the workplace. And we don't want anybody to feel unwanted when they come to work in the union construction industry.
The reward money comes from dues paid by construction workers across the country.
The general presidents and the business managers in this area just felt strongly enough about it that we felt it was the right thing to do.
The Altoona Police Department is investigating the incident. Egan said $50,000 will be paid if a tip leads to the arrest of a person or persons. The other half of the reward will be paid if there is a conviction. The reward offer expires September 1st. The University of Iowa is spending $1 million to remove spray-painted messages Black Lives Matter protesters left on campus buildings earlier this summer, but not before documenting and preserving the images for future generations. Hundreds of protesters who gathered and marched across the campus in recent weeks left a slew of social justice messages, including on the 178-year-old Capitol and 93-year-old Fieldhouse. The $1 million cleanup effort will employ five Iowa companies to remove the spray paint from building exteriors. To preserve the messages, U of I libraries will collect photos in an institutional archive that will grow and expand with additional documents, video clips, sound recordings, and first-person narratives. The Iowa Department of Corrections reports several staff members were injured Friday while attempting to restrain an inmate at the Iowa Medical and Classification Center, or IMMC. A counselor was working with an inmate in a mental health unit when the inmate began to indicate they would try to cause self-harm by jumping from an upper level of the unit. As staff responded to try to keep the inmate from hurting himself, another inmate became physically aggressive and required restraint from the staff. As several correctional officers were attempting to bring them under restraint, the inmate physically resisted by wrestling with and kicking responding staff, and in the process, two staff members suffered injuries. One sergeant received a neck injury and has been relieved from duty to be reviewed by a medical professional. An officer was reviewed by medical staff at the facility for possible concussion, but was found to be fit to return to duty. The incident remains under investigation. The Iowa Department of Corrections reports also that on Thursday night, the Mount Pleasant Correctional Facility was notified that an inmate has tested positive for COVID-19. The inmate is an older adult male, someone between the ages of 55 and 64, and was placed in medical isolation when he first reported to health services that he was not feeling well on Wednesday, July 8th at around 12:20 p.m. After being assessed, he was immediately taken to the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics for further medical evaluation and care. And while at UIHC, he was tested for COVID-19. On Thursday, MPCF was informed of his first negative COVID-19 test. UIHC administered a second test, and MPCF was informed that his test was also negative. However, later that day, the correctional facility was contacted by the University of Iowa Health Centers and informed that, in fact, the inmate was positive for COVID-19 and will remain at the hospital for care and monitoring supervision. He's last listed in stable condition. Working with the Iowa Department of Public Health and the State Hygienic Lab, Mount Pleasant Correctional Facility will be conducting additional testing of staff and inmates at the facility to identify those that might be carrying the virus while at the same time being asymptomatic. And this week, the state's Test Iowa program passed the 100,000 mark in the number of tests conducted. Governor Kim Reynolds announced in April that a group of Utah companies were being paid $26 million to supply the test kits. The first Test Iowa kits opened April 25th in Des Moines.
Last week, a Test Iowa sites across the state once again surpassed the daily capacity of 3,000 tests per day.
There are now 20 Test Iowa sites in the state. Some are drive-through sites. Others are set up in partnership with local hospitals and clinics. According to the governor, 21% of the COVID-19 tests that have been done in Iowa since March have been run through the Test Iowa program. Reynolds says Test Iowa is currently the state's number one source for tests.
As demand for testing continues to grow, Test Iowa appointments are filling up quickly. So even though we've far exceeded our capacity for the last 2 weeks, we're mindful that we can push our capacity limits only so far. While our volume of tests are in good supply, we are considering different ways to adjust operations at some of our testing sites and at the State Hygienic Lab so that we can further expand capacity and meet the demands of Iowans who want to be tested.
Iowans must use the Test Iowa app or a call to schedule an appointment time for a COVID-19 tests. Sites in Des Moines and Waukee account for 40% of the tests that have been conducted through the Test Iowa program this month. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.